Helen Lee, Director of Research, Department of Haematology, the University of Cambridge and founder, Diagnostics for the Real World. Thank you for talking to the Centre for Entrepreneurial Learning's Entrepreneurs and Experts podcast series today.
Thank you.
You are responsible for research in diagnostics development in the Department of Haematology, University of Cambridge, and you've led major diagnostics projects in industry. You've set up three companies, with one having been sold to a Fortune 500 company. Why are you interested in diagnostics?
I really went into diagnostics quite by accident. It was at a time when our institute required some blood typing reagents from monoclonal antibodies, and we had exactly a year to do it. And in so doing, I realized that making a diagnostic test requires not just science, but many other aspects. It's the multifaceted aspect of diagnostics development that really interested me.
And so how do you combine your research in the laboratory with building companies? You've not just worked for companies developing new diagnostic tests, but you've branched out and formed your own companies too.
I think my research is not pure research. I've always liked applied research, that what you do has a concrete endpoint. And if you do develop a technology, and then from the technology you get a product, then the impetus is really to market the product, to label it, to box it, to ship it, and to actually see that it is being used in the field and yielding the results that would make a difference to a patient. So therefore, developing technology naturally leads to creating a company.
So what are the key attributes for being a successful bio-entrepreneur? Can you say you need to be driven, you need to be ambitious, you need to have stamina, or you need to be experimental?
I think it is hard work, diligence, perseverance, and I think really never giving up, actually never the thought of giving up, just one foot in front of the other and keep going.
And how has your assessment of risks in a bio-business changed over time? I suppose in the early days, the risks were about the science.
I think there's always risks in life at all stages. And that's true for human life too. As you grow older, from youth, you look back and there are so many different kind of risks as you go through different phases of life. The company is not different. And you have the initial risk of finding the right team, people that you trust, that you share the goal with. Then you come to organizational risk where you need to find the right facilities, find the right funding stream, and hiring the right people and getting the systems working. Then once you have your product, then the commercialization, the dealing with the competitors, and bringing the technology to the market is a different kind of risk. And of course, I imagine there are other risks that haven't got there yet, but I'm quite sure there are plenty of risks lying ahead.
Why did you decide to come to Cambridge?
A group of us wanted to develop diagnostics for developing world, particularly for infectious diseases, where the prevalence is so high and the needs were so great. But for obvious reasons, we couldn't do that in a company whose goal really is the return of investment to the shareholders, because the profit in the developing world is too low and the risk is too high. So several of us decided to leave industry, and I came to University of Cambridge because we wanted to develop the technology specifically for resource-poor settings. And in fact, it's very difficult to develop technologies for settings that doesn't have air conditioning, doesn't have skilled workers, and where dust is a problem, where electricity stoppage is a problem. And so for all those reasons, you have to develop technology de novo, and that takes time. So we fundamentally needed a place where we have, frankly, the luxury to fail, where the patience of the organization is greater than for a purely profit-driven commercial enterprise.
And has there always been that kind of an aspiration in your work throughout your career, the need to reach out to what used to be called the second world and the third world now?
I think one of my best supervisors, Dr. Rosemary Biggs, always taught me the value of being useful. So I've always wanted to be useful. And given the high prevalence of disease, the low resources, then the need in the developing world is the greatest. And I think that almost naturally drew me to that setting.
And your company that you've formed in Cambridge?
It's called Diagnostics for the Real World, a nightmare for a marketing person, but that is what we do. We want to really develop diagnostics that can be used in lower healthcare levels by literally unskilled workers, and that can be done near patients so that the patient can come in, get tested, and be treated, so that these rapid, robust diagnostics can be implemented at the lower healthcare levels. It is really quite amazing when you do visit Africa, you see these women with children on the back and on the side, walking really miles to the clinic, and there's no waiting rooms, and they often sit on the lawn to wait to be called. And you really want to test them right away, give them the results so they can be treated right away without having to come back again. And in fact, the difficulty of travel is such that often they don't come back again.
Within the forming of your company, there's a social aspiration as well as a profit aspiration.
Yes, we really try to balance profitability with a sense of idealism. Not always easy to do, but this company is not just about money. It's about being sustainable, being successful commercially, and being competitive, but it is trying to fulfill an unmet need.
There must have been amazing changes in your field of work, diagnostics, over the years that mean you can reach out to others in that way.
Yes, it is amazing how technology evolves so quickly in our modern world. But actually, in an ironic way, although diagnostic technology evolves a great deal and very rapidly in developed world where there is money, the need is hardly met in the developing world. And in fact, sometimes I think of it that the diagnostic technology is force-fitted from the first world into the second world. It's not unlike, particularly, let's say, in DNA testing technology, which is terribly complicated. It sometimes gives me the impression that you're trying to give a Formula One car to a place where you don't have Lewis Hamilton as a driver or Silverstone as the track, and it really doesn't work. That is really why we try to make the developed technologies that from the beginning is suited to the resource poor settings.
So what have you personally found the greatest challenges to be, and what would you say the greatest challenges are today for growing a biotech business?
The greatest challenge, I think, to keep balance. A balance about health, balance about leisure, a balance about family life, a balance between self and work, to maintain that balance so that you can really make the sustained effort without which you cannot go to the end of the story, as it were.
And how can bioscientists assess their appetite for entrepreneurship? Clearly, not all bioscientists will want to run a company.
Not every bioscientist is suited to running companies. I think that comes with a lot of self-awareness. And yet sometimes people underestimate themselves. They may think that they're not suited to run a bioscience company, but in fact, they can grow into it. So I don't think there is a strict rule of what it is and how you must be.
But presumably, they need to be the kind of personality that doesn't mind failure, that will persist.
Oh, I think the ability to deal with failure day in and day out is absolutely central to one of the requirements, because if it is so easy to do, somebody would have done it already. So in a way, I think technology development is essentially the ability to deal with failure and never really giving up.
And what about your advice to a novice bio entrepreneur? What would you advise them to do if they were standing here in front of you and saying, I want to leave the lab, I want to set up a business, you've done it, do you think I can do it successfully too?
I would say if you really want to do it, go for it. And if what you want to do is worthwhile and what you want to do is something you intrinsically really want to do, then I think the world will stand aside and let you go through. But always, I think a real dose of realism. So in a way, it's like having your feet on the ground and your head in the cloud, but that feet must be on the ground.
The need to persist, the need to not be frightened of failure, and the need to work hard every day.
There are certain key elements that underpins success in any human endeavor: diligence, persistence, and never really to give up. But I think there is a sense of idealism, the satisfaction of achieving something, of conquering something that has been difficult intrinsically or extrinsically, and just the pleasure of working, I think.
And what about building team? Your colleagues must be important too.
Absolutely. I'm always grateful to the few key people that have been together with me on this enterprise for really the last 20-some years. We still trust each other. We still like each other. We still like what we're doing. And I'm absolutely sure that if they hadn't been working with me, the company would not have achieved what we have been able to achieve.
So a novice bio-entrepreneur needs to build team around them.
Totally. You cannot do it by yourself. And I am Chinese, and we have image to say, you know, the streams, the high mountain streams, is always very thin because it places itself too high. Then it goes flow down the river. It is larger body of water. But the ocean is great because the ocean places itself the lowest of all levels. So I think that ability to be open, to learn, to collect waters from all different mountain streams will go a long way.
Helen Lee, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Center for Entrepreneurial Learning's Entrepreneurs and Experts podcast series today. And congratulations on your many distinguished awards.
Thank you. And I hope if by chance someone is listening to this, that this little talk may give them some impetus to try to do something unique, do something useful, and do something fun.